This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're in the home stretch now of Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, third and final hour of the program. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, getting you ready for tonight's baseball games. But before we do, a quick update on some of these scores we've been tracking. Michael Wacha's bid for a no-hitter ends in the seventh inning. He gives up his first hit of the game on a bloop single, but he goes 99 pitches through seven with six strikeouts. On the other side, Tarek Skubal, seven innings, two hits, seven strikeouts, and no score yet in this game. We are also tracking Giants Marlins, where Miami leads 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh. Will has hit his first three under, his first five under, and now I need the full game under eight. But it looks like we are doing okay. Two outs now in the bottom of the seventh.
So far, so good for you. You always have to hold your breath with these full games. Avoid extra innings. Avoid that blow-up inning. But I'm rooting for you to get home 1-0. So it's funny how these over-unders get. You feel like it's so sweaty and so uncomfortable, and the bases are loaded, and there's men on, and you look up, and you look back, and wow, it's 1-0 in the seventh. There's nothing to worry about. But it really wasn't as easy out 1-0, because there was a lot of situations where more runs could have been scored, guys thrown out of the bases, you know, bases loaded jam, I think. The Giants look like they got robbed of a two-run homer earlier in the game by the Marlins left fielder. It was a really good catch. So glad to get the win, but it wasn't as easy as it seems with the 1-0 score.
Yeah, that one was a little dicey at the beginning. The Giants have left eight on base. They're 0-for-4 with RISP. The Marlins have left three on base, 1-for-3 with RISP. So still waiting for one final bet to get home in that game. But let's take a look at these evening games, starting with the World Series rematch between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Yankees minus 120 on the money line here. The Dodgers at even odds with a higher total of 9.5. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, as a Yankee fan, I do not need to see these reminders constantly that it's a World Series rematch and Freddie Freeman hit a grand slam and Judge dropped the ball. All these different things. I get it. They played in October. Ooh. I get it. It's tough. Boy, that was a brutal one. Who knows? Maybe this is not only a World Series rematch. Maybe it's a World Series preview because Yankees are looking pretty good. AL, all right, Detroit's good, but who else do you love? And then the Dodgers are the Dodgers, so who knows? Maybe we get same thing we get with the Oilers and the Panthers. They get a rematch in the Cup Final. Maybe we get a rematch in the World Series. I like the over. I don't love Warren. I know he's pitched better recently, but that's against the Rockies. That's against some lesser teams. So give me the over. Knack is not very good. Warren's not very good. There were a lot of fireworks last night in that 8-5 game. A lot of homers early. I think five homers through the first three or so innings. So over 9.5 with two shaky pitchers and two really good lineups.
Yep. I agree with you. I like the over 9.5 in this one. Don't believe in either pitcher here. Will Warren, a young guy, this is just his second season in the majors. He's allowing a lot of barrels and a hard hit rate of almost 50%. His four-seamer is the only pitch he offers that has an above average weighted on base average. The other ones are below average. So I think the negative regression is going to hit him soon. Same with Landon Knack, although the results are kind of, I don't know if there's any regression to be had. The results are just what they are right at this point. 5.22 ERA, also high barrel rate, high hard hit rate. He also has trouble keeping the ball on the ground, which on a day where it's 81 degrees with 8-mile-an-hour winds flying out to right center field, that's going to be a problem for him when he's facing this Yankees power lineup. The ball gets in the air, it's going to carry with the weather boost. So I like the over 10 here as well. Probably a good day to look at some of these home run props as well. Let's take a look at the game. Also, starting at the same time, Twins at Seattle. And this one expected to be just as close as Yankees-Dodgers. Minnesota minus 110 on the money line. Seattle minus 109. But this total moving down from 7.5 to 7 now.
Little too low. I wouldn't want any part of the under. Miller's not been good. He's been a guy who I think has been underrated. I've loved betting on him, but not this year. This year he's been bad. He's been out a month, so that's another check mark against him where I don't think you can do very well. You will do very well betting against these pitchers who are coming off of injuries, especially when they don't have any rehab starts. Who knows if they're healthy, if they're in rhythm. And his control's been awful, and that's a guy – I mean, his control's been his calling card his whole career, you know, these few years. And now 17 walks in 25 innings, you wonder – is he 100%? Is the mechanics off? Is he dealing with an injury? Bailey Ober's been pretty good. He's starting to improve his numbers. I know he had a rough start, but he's a strike thrower for the most part. Minnesota's got a good bullpen. Seattle used a lot of their arms last night. I know Minnesota did too, but Minnesota, to me, has the deeper pen, the deeper lineup. I think they check a lot of boxes here. I'm okay, Minnesota. I'm going to play him on the full game. I'm fading Miller here until I see otherwise. What are you looking at in this game? How are you handicapping it?
You know, initially, I actually did like the under 7.5. Right now, if you were to bet the under 7, it's listed at even odds. But, I mean, you're going to push, and that's no fun. So, I'm with you. I like the Twins side here. The market is moving that way. Last night, they were posted minus 103, now minus 110. I hesitate to back any pitcher coming off an injury. Bryce Miller, you said it, his walk rate is double his career average. He's getting hard hit at a rate of 42%. Hasn't thrown a quality start yet this season. So don't feel too great about him. I think Bailey Ober is the better pitcher here. I'm not sure if this is one I'll actually bet. I mean, I do like the Twins. I like the Twins in this one. So let's go with that.
You've got plenty of money. You get your plus 550. You can be betting on all these games. You have plus
literally
550
as I was saying that.
Yeah.
I know. As I was saying that, I was like, I got some wiggle room today.
Yes.
Okay. No, you're right. I should, especially when it's when these are posted so closely together. I just get so annoyed when the line. When I'm late to the line movement, you know, that's what it is. And I don't know who I'm fighting against when I end up don't playing the bet, but it's like, I don't know. I'm living vicariously through my past self, but
I feel right.
We like the Twins. That's what happened here. Okay. Pirates at the Padres, another low total in this one, although it is moving up from 7.5 to 8 and pretty lopsided here in the prices as well. San Diego minus 235 favorite as they throw Dylan Cease against Bailey Falter.
I like Cease. I don't like Falter, but I don't really have much interest in laying the minus 238 or laying a run and a half, especially with the home team where you might not get the extra bat. Padres have not been great lately. I passed the game. I might look at a Falter under strikeouts. Is he 3.5 or 4.5? I saw both numbers posted earlier. That might be a way to go. He does not miss a lot of bats. His results are not that bad. He somehow gets by, even though the stuff is not overly impressive. He doesn't get swings and misses or chases. So the advanced stuff is not great, but he has a habit of just keeping runs at a premium here and doing a decent job, all things considered. So maybe an under on Bailey Falter strikeouts if you needed action on that game, but not sure it's anything I'm going to play. What are you going to play? I'd imagine you're not laying this big price, but do you want any part of the Pirates at this number?
No. Okay, I found the Bailey Falter number for you. 3.5 strikeouts, juice to the under at minus 145. I'm looking up San Diego's strikeout rate against lefties. They rank ninth, 21%. At a minus 145, not too interested in that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, the 3.5 is right where it should be. It's no surprise to me that the money line prices are so lopsided here. I actually liked the over 7.5. There are still 7.5s posted. It's minus 125 to the over. If you wanted to play the over 8, it's minus 105, but you know, playing for a push is kind of boring. Either way, though, I think Dylan Cease, we started the season kind of wondering what's wrong. It actually, though, it looks like he has adjusted and he should have some better results here soon. I think his numbers are skewed by one bad start He has a 4.58 ERA, but a 3.5 expected and a 3.24 FIP. So he should probably mellow out here. Yeah, you know what? No play on that game. I'll tell you, we got a minute. We got a little less than 2 minutes here. I do have a play on Nationals D-backs, but I would like to get your thoughts first. Arizona minus 189 here.
I think they'll hit Soroka. Soroka, you know, shaky against lefties, but Arizona, I don't know. I mean, they've lost 8 of 9. We were just talking about them in terms of the most wins market. They've played terribly. Their bullpen's been bad. The team total I see is 5.5 for a home team. I can't quite get there. This is another one where I'd pass. Maybe if Washington scores an early run, you jump in on Arizona live, but I don't think I'll have any bets on this. If I had to play it, fought going against that lineup. Maybe Soroka's been okay. I think Soroka's a positive regression candidate. Maybe a first 5 under and hold my breath at what, 5 or 5.5 if you can pay the extra juice. That would be my only lean. What are you looking at? Do you like anything here?
It sounded like when you first started talking that we were going to be on the same side here. I actually split my wager between the Nats team total over 3.5 and the Nats to win the first 5 at plus 155. I think these starting pitchers are rated much more closely than the market is giving. Yeah, you look at Brandon Pfaadt, 390 ERA, a 637 expected, and a 492 FIP. I think both of them get hit. It's just, you got the weather. I'm pretty sure the roof is open as long as it's below 100 degrees. Thank you, Arizona. But at this price, how can you turn down the Nats plus 155?
All right.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. We gave you all of our baseball thoughts in the last block. Let's go back to the court now and talk Knicks Pacers Game 6 for those who missed it earlier. The Pacers getting out to a 4.5 now here as money comes in on the home favorite. And that total creeping up. Wow. I mean, it is creeping up even further. Open 220, dipped to 217.5. Now it's a 222. What do you think? I know your thoughts on the game, Will. Before you give me your favorite side here, what do you make of this total movement?
Not sure. You always wonder if somebody's just setting up a move where I'm going to bet it up to get a better number, then I'm going to come in over the top with the under. But the Pacers, maybe the thought process is the Pacers at home. Push the tempo, push the pace, and just play at a faster speed. And neither team shot the three well. Maybe that's part of it too, where, all right, maybe some positive regression is coming from the three-point line because the Knicks shot, 27% from the three-point line, and the Pacers shot not much better, I think 28-29%. So neither team shot the three well. And you figure two pretty good shooting teams, those numbers will correct, a little more pace, Indiana style at home. So maybe that's the reason here for the over. I get it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. No, you're right, too, to mention it could be someone just setting up the number they want. So sometimes you can't read too much into these market movements, but we shall see. So I'll give my favorite play for the game. I like the Pacers in the first half to cover the -1.5. Because I'm not sure what will happen in the full game. But I do know if you're going to bounce back, you're going to do it sooner in the game rather than in the second half. Like you said, they didn't generate their typical offense in the last game. They shot poorly from three. They turned the ball over more than they typically do. 20 turnovers in the last game when they averaged 13 on the season. And in their three previous playoff losses during this run, they covered in the first half in all those following games. So that is my play for this game, the Pacers first half. What do you like in this one?
Is that why you have the Pacers yellow on? Is this a Pacers uniform you got going?
Ooh. I didn't even plan that. Yeah, that's what this is for.
Sure, sure. I like the Knicks. I just think and part of this is I'm trying to speak this into existence. I do have Knicks in 7 plus 400 from before the series. I thought this series was destined for 7. I thought these teams were dead even. And you know what? Maybe if the Knicks don't just completely blow game one in unthinkable fashion, it's 3-2 Knicks right now. Pacers winning home, and then we get our 7th game that way. But I thought the Knicks played really good defense in game 5. I think Nesmith is a very important player for Indy, and he didn't look healthy, sprained his ankle. you know, a few games ago, had a good game four, but did not have a good game five. Didn't shoot the ball well, didn't defend well. That's really the only viable option for defending Brunson and slowing him down. So I still think, as close as these teams are, there's slightly more talent on the Knicks. I'm getting four. I'll take the points. And again, I'm rooting for a game seven, but I just feel like these teams are dead even and would be fitting if we do get a seventh game. I'm rooting for a seventh game because, let's be honest, if the Pacers win tonight, the NBA season is kind of over. I mean, OKC is going to bury them in either four or five games. Mm-hmm. This series is, to me, the last bit of drama in the NBA. Whether we get the Pacers going to the finals in a few hours or the Knicks forcing a game seven, this is a lot of fun. I'm going to watch basically every play of this. I'm excited for it. But after this, it's just a matter of, it's a formality. Is if it's OKC in four, five, maybe six, I wouldn't see that. But I think this is the last piece of drama here in the NBA.
If it does go to a game seven, who would you play at that point?
Part of it is I have Knicks in seven plus 400, so I'd probably just take the points as a hedge. But if the Knicks force it seven and I had no bets, I would expect the Knicks to win. I mean, if you're talking about Knicks laying like four or five in game seven, I don't know that I love laying points. But I do think the Knicks, if they win this game tonight, I don't see Indy going into New York and winning another game in MSG and winning a game seven. So hopefully it comes to that. Nothing like a game seven in New York that neither team has been to the finals in, you know, 25 plus years. I hope we get it. We'll see. Should be a fun game.
Yeah. I think that line would be probably close to that 4.5, like you said. But looking at the results of this series, the first three games, the underdog covered, the next two games, the favorite covered. So hard to say what'll happen in game seven, although that MSG crowd would be insane. I know that much. Want to give everyone a quick update here on the Memorial Tournament because we have some movement. Ben Griffin has bogeyed four of his last five holes. And so that 9-under is now a 6-under. And who's right behind him? Good old Scotty. Scotty has 13 pars of the day. He just birdied hole 14. So Scotty is now 5-under for the tournament, a stroke behind the leader, Ben Griffin. Jordan Spieth, his day a bit more uneven, but the same score nonetheless. He is 5-under for the tournament, tied with Scotty. For Jordan Spieth, if he were to win this, that would be his first win since 2022. We've been waiting for his resurgence, but it would also, right now as it stands, tied for second would be his best result this season. He finished fourth at the Byron Nelson to start May. He finished tied for fourth at the Phoenix Open in February. He has one other top 10 and three other top 20s in there. So not a bad year by any means, but definitely not the winner he used to be in the mid 2010s. So Jordan Spieth making a push here.
Scheffler odds on, by the way.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Scheffler's odds on, as you'd expect. -125. Ben Griffin +350. Oh. Spieth +550. Our buddy Straku, Kelly Bidlin, gave out an hour or so ago at 25-1. I actually bet it with a boost at like 31-1. He's down to 16-1. So In the mix, but I feel like we go through this exercise a lot of like talking ourselves into these other guys, and a lot of times it just ends up being Scottie Scheffler.
I remember earlier in the show, Kelly said, you know, this +210, +230, whatever it was on Scottie at the time, he's like, that's actually good price with less than two rounds to go. And he was right. Scheffler, I'm seeing -110. You see -125. But I was able to bet Straka live.
125. Oh, you got him too?
I was able to bet Straka live as well. Yeah, I got him at 30-1. So we'll both have that to root for tomorrow. I'm excited about that. And hold on, I'm pulling up some of the strokes gained data here. Sepp Straka leading the field in strokes gained approach and strokes gained... Yeah, tee to green. I want to see where Griffin kind of failed here. There's not a certain area that stands out. Thursday was his big day, and he's been kind of trickling down ever since. And the big dogs have caught up to him. Okay, so I'm glad we got a competitive tournament here. That'll be fun. What do we have time for here? Let's go back to hockey for a second. And because we haven't hit that in quite some time, we have a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup final between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. The market thinks Edmonton gets its revenge here. They are -120 to win the series. Total games posted at 5.5 with the over, very juicy, -238. By the way, it's the first Stanley Cup final rematch we've had since 2009. The last two rematches, included Sidney Crosby, 2009 with the Penguins, and Wayne Gretzky, 1984 with the Isles, winning their first cup. Good sign for Connor McDavid? Perhaps so. Either way, he is one of my bets here. I like Connor McDavid, top goal scorer, +550, and McDavid, points leader, at +120. He has led all players in shot attempts, scoring chances, shots on goal, and expected goals throughout the playoffs. Coming in with even more momentum, scoring 3 goals in the final 3 games against the Stars in the last round. And even more important is he's getting opportunities, more opportunities than anyone else to win this market. He's logged 372 minutes of ice time. Next on the list is Leon Draisaitl with 348. And then the third guy with the most ice time, 329. So McDavid already had the talent gap. Now he's getting the usage, the opportunity gap. So like him to be top goal scorer, top points leader. Also, how about the Oilers to win in 7, +425? I know that's a bet that could interest you, Will.
I like that. And I believe DraftKings has a +450. And you mentioned the Red Wings and the Penguins, okay. 2008 and then 2009 they met. I forget the name of the player, but there was a player who was on the losing side of both of those series. He played on the Red Wings in 08, was a free agent, went to the Penguins, and then lost again or vice versa. So that's a tough one. I always remember that about that that sequence.
That's the anti-Pat Maroon. I don't know if you were following Pat Maroon's career. He won 3 Stanley Cups in a row on 2 different teams. Was it 3 different teams? Because I know 1 and 2 was with the Lightning. It must have been 2 different teams, but yeah, Pat Maroon has it good. If you want smarter bets, you got to start with VSiN Pro, and now's the time to join. Today is actually the final day to lock in 14 months for just $199. That's right, you can get 2 months for free when you use the promo code PRO at checkout. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code PRO. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Grace Remington with you alongside Will Hill. Get it into Game 6 of the NBA Conference Finals now with Dan Karpik, new here to the VSiN team. He's posting his NBA Insider articles almost every day of the week, and they are a fantastic read. So make sure you check those out at VSiN.com. But Dan Karpik now joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's get into your initial thoughts on this game before we get into your exact plays. This point spread kind of teetering back and forth between the 3.5, 4.5, sits at 4 now, and the total creaking up to 222.5 now. How do you feel about the side and the total in this one?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go all the way with the Pacers here. I think they learned the hard way that if they play at the pace that the Knicks want to play at, they might have a hard time matching up in this series. What we saw from this Pacers team down the stretch and right after they started the first couple months, kind of around 500, then they became one of the best teams in the NBA. They have a prolific offense. They have a ton of depth. They could play really fast if they want to. What we saw last game with Tyrese Haliburton, they kind of shied away from the pace that they want to play. They relied on guys like Benedict Mathurin to score points for them. I think on their home floor tonight, they're going to play really fast. They're going to try to set the tempo. I like them to cover, and I like them to finally, move on to the NBA Finals here. As far as the total, I think it's going to go over tonight. Again, I think they are going to make it a point to really set the tempo and make the Knicks play up to their pace tonight. And I think that's a major adjustment that's going to be made.
Dan, any concern here with Nesmith's health? He's obviously been such a contributor, both sides of the ball, threes, defense. He did not look great in game 5, only 1 of 8 from the floor. His defense was a little spotty. You think that's something, nothing? How do you handicap the Nesmith angle of this game?
I'm scared of it, to be honest. It's a definite stay away for me. He's one of these guys, like, I don't like, as a prop bettor and as someone who places probably 90 to 95% of my bets on props, I don't like the volatility for guys like that. Like, yes, he could go out there and he shot like 8 for 9 from 3 in game 1. That's obviously not going to happen too often, but we've seen him fill it up. We've also seen him stink it up completely. And he also has a matchup against Jalen Brunson defensively. And, you know, we've seen Jalen Brunson be a bit of a foul merchant at times, so he could get in foul trouble. I tend to stay away from guys like that completely, which is why I'm kind of keyed in on 3 specific guys tonight in this game.
Tyrese Haliburton, coming off one of his worst games of the playoffs, his points prop set at 20.5 tonight. Anything from him you like?
Yeah, I like his over assists, over 9.5 assists I got this at. He's cleared this number in 3 of 5 games in this series. Assist totals of 11, 11, 7, 15 in that breakout crazy triple-double that he had, and then 6 last game. But even in the 2 games where he came up short, the potential was there. He had 13 and 10 potential assists in games 3 and 5. Potential assists is one of my favorite stats to look at in terms of predicting what's going to happen in the future. In his best games, though, 20 and 24 potential dimes. So that's the type of upside I want to see. When his teammates are converting, he has this ability, unlike very few players in the NBA, to really rack up those assist totals and even approach 20 at times. So to kind of highlight that even more, I dug into the numbers. He's averaging 75.8 passes made per game in this series, and the next closest pacer is Nembhard at 37.2. So this offense fully runs through Haliburton. Yes, will TJ McConnell come in and you know, he's going to be high usage, he's going to be have the ball in his hands for what, 15 minutes or something like that when Halliburton's sitting tonight, but I think I'm going to go right back to the well here, and this kind of blends in with my idea that this is going to be an up-tempo feeding into the crowd type of game for the Pacers.
Looking ahead to the finals, regardless of who comes out of the series, what number would you need to bet the team from the East? And boy, if OKC were to somehow not win the final, do you think that would be the biggest upset in NBA Finals history?
Ooh, it's going to be close. I mean, the thing about OKC is that, you know, the one hesitation I have, like, their defense is amazing. I think if they play the Knicks, if the Knicks somehow win the next couple games here, I think they're going to sweep the Knicks. I think a team like the Pacers that has maybe not the same amount of depth and obviously nowhere close to the defensive fortitude that OKC has, I could see them stealing a couple games just based on that depth alone. I'm a firm believer, and I've seen this happen. I'm a Celtics fan, a big-time Celtics fan since birth. I saw this happen this year where, outside of Peyton Pritchard, they had very little firepower off the bench, and no one really talked about that. The Pacers, you know, they could play 9-10 deep and be very comfortable with that, which would come in really handy against a team like the Thunder. So I think that, depending if it's the Thunder versus OKC or the Thunder versus the Pacers, excuse me, you know, I consider placing a bet for the Pacers to win, depending on what number I could get. But I think OKC in 6 or OKC in 7, we're going to get some pretty solid value there as well.
Going back to tonight's game, Jalen Brunson has been averaging over 30 points a game in this series. Do you think he does it again tonight?
Yep. Over 30.5 points was one of the first places I looked tonight. He thrives in these high pressure situations. He's the best clutch scorer in the league again this season here. One of the best clutch performers in the playoffs. He's cleared this 30.5 point mark in 4 out of the 5 games in the series. He had 43, 36, 23, 31, and 32. He's shooting 50% from the field, 42 of 45 from the free throw line. So that foul merchant identity is kind of living up to that a little bit here. Usage rate is ridiculous at 35.9%. It's going to only stay the same or increase tonight here. And in 4 elimination games with the Knicks, he scored 32, 17 in a little bit of a dud, but 41 and then 38 points. So he's gone out of over this line in 3 of those 4. The pace is there. The shot volume is there. The trust from Thibs is there. He's going to play probably 42 to 45 minutes tonight in a close game. And so I think think he's gonna soar over this number, to be honest. And I'd bet it probably all the way up to 32.5, 33 maybe even. So I think there's even value at 30.5, which is something I never thought I'd say for a guy like Jalen Brunson.
Dan, last one for me. What do you think we're looking at this summer in terms of an offseason? Maybe Giannis on the move, maybe Durant on the move. Lakers possibly trading Austin Reaves. What's kind of the craziest prediction you see here in a situation where the West is just so much better than the East? Your Celtics not really a factor going forward. They have a lot of decisions to make. How do you handicap going forward this summer? And is there a future bet you would make off of that based on what you think might happen?
Yeah, I'm very high on the Spurs. I think that either Giannis or KD could very realistically end up there. They have the draft capital to kind of do something to make a splash move. And if you think about Giannis alongside Wembanyama, like how fun would that be? What a defensive matchup that would be. I mean, I guess that's a crazy matchup on either end of the floor. I do think that in order, you look back at previous off seasons. If Rudy Gobert went for 5 first rounders, I don't think that's gonna happen again. KD would be worth, Giannis would be worth what, 15, 20? That's not gonna happen. I think if OKC were to somehow fall short in the finals, they obviously have crazy amounts of draft capital. They could make a splash move for one of those two guys, but I think KD in Phoenix is a done deal. I think he's out of there. That experiment I think expired a little bit, and I think he's certainly going to be on the move. With Giannis, I think I'd be a little bit more hesitant there. I think, he's kind of the whole identity of that Bucks team. And I think they're more likely to convince him that, oh, we're going to build around you. We're going to make some other moves to really make that happen. But I guess my bold take would be that I think Brad Stevens with Jason Tatum going to be out the whole next year, with Jaylen Brown, who knows what's going on with his injury as well. I think he's going to make some big splash moves and kind of prep for the future rather than next season. And they're going to want to move some of those big salaries out of Boston. So I know that Shams alluded to some moves being made there potentially by Brad Stevens. I think the Celtics are going to probably have 3 to 4 different starters in their starting five at the beginning of next season than they did here in the playoffs. So I guess that's my bold take.
Awesome stuff, Dan. You can find his work over at VSiN.com. He's posting his NBA props every day. Dan, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck on your plays tonight.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
We'll see you soon. All right, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest for free this season? Winner Circle Proxy is giving away 1 free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. And get this, you will be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win at winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Once again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Our best bets coming up after this. Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Will Hill. I'm Grace Remington. About to send you off with our best bets for the evening. Our best bets are brought to you by GBank. And now you can go ahead and get the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. Then First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN will complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. So that is $500 total from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. So apply today. Terms and conditions apply. With that, let's get to our best bets. And Will, let's start with the NBA Game 6 between the Knicks and Pacers. Your best bet for this game.
Knicks plus 4. Been over it during the show. Talked about it last night with Matt Eumanns. Neesmith being banged up is a question for me, is a big concern from an Indiana perspective. Knicks played good defense last game. And the Knicks won the game by 17 points in game 5, where they only shot 27% from 3. So two pretty even teams. I still think slightly more talent with the Knicks. I'm getting 4 points. Give me the Knicks plus the 4. Let's get a game 7 here on Monday. Should be a lot of fun either way.
I'm cool with your wish for a game 7 as long as the Pacers cover the first half, because that is my bet for this game. Pacers needing to bounce back. Obviously, you do that at the start of the game, not the second half. That's kind of a trend we've seen play out in the postseason. The Pacers have covered in the first half after all 3 playoff losses. And kind of some atypical things we saw from their offense that I think will normalize here in game 6. So you got the Knicks full game. I got the Pacers first half. Let's do our best bets for baseball now. We have 4 evening games tonight. What do you like on the diamond?
I'll go over 9.5 Yankees-Dodgers. 2 shaky pitchers, 2 really good lineups. Hopefully we'll see some fireworks like we saw on Friday night in the opener here, where 5 homers in the first 3 innings or so. Judge went deep. Ohtani went deep a couple of times. So don't love Warren, even though he's pitched better recently, and you're starting to see some promising signs. That's against lesser competition. Knack is nothing more than, you know, an average pitcher at best. So I'll go over 9.5. You know, I go Twins money line. If you can find a cheap plus a half a run in the first 5, like even minus 150, minus 160, I don't think that's a bad way to go, but I'll call it Twins money line, minus 112 or so. I just don't trust Miller. He hasn't been great this season. He's walked a lot of guys, plus he's coming off an injury. Ober's pretty good, so I will go Twins on the money line. And I'll give out the 2 futures I got, too. Rockies under 9.5 wins in June. I think that's pretty self-explanatory, as we just saw them lose to the Mets. They have not won a series all year. They only have 9 wins combined, so for them to get 10 in a single month here is something that I'm willing to bet against. And Rangers 30-1, most wins in June. Shop around. I only had access to DraftKings on this, but we've seen some disparate prices on these. So make sure you're shopping and getting the best of the number if you have multiple books. Texas, pretty easy schedule, all things considered. 3 against the Nats, 3 against the Pirates, 3 against the White Sox, 4 against the Orioles, and they don't have to play the Braves, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Mets. That's a reasonable schedule. Seager's back. You're getting 30-1. So Texas winning the most games in June would be something that I would greatly appreciate, Grace.
You know what? I will be rooting for that with you, because I had a couple preseason futures on the Rangers. So let's do it. Yeah. My best bet for the night in baseball, you know, kind of split your wager however you want here, but I'm backing the Nats in kind of every which way. Full game plus 170, first 5 plus 155. Nats team total over 3.5 at minus 125. I was kind of surprised to see these prices, because when you get into the underlying metrics for these starting pitchers here, they should be rated much more closely together. Michael Soroka is throwing for Washington tonight. He has a 5.61 ERA, but a 3.62 expected and a 3.44 expected FIP. And he doesn't even have a high strand rate, which tells me he truly has been unlucky. He has, I mean, low walk rate, less than 5%, decent strikeout rate, high ground ball rate. So everything to me looks good for him. The results should follow soon. Brandon Pfaadt on the other side is supposed to regress the other way. He has a 3.90 ERA, but a 6.37 expected ERA and a FIP of almost 5. He also has an 80% left on base rate, so he has gotten really lucky there. His barrel rate is high. The hard hit rate is high. Out of all his pitches, only 1 rates out at just average. The rest are all below average. So I don't really know why these pitchers are priced so differently. And you look at the bullpens, too. In the month of May, I mean, neither of them are good, but that's the point. They're both bad. And in the last 2 weeks, Washington's offense ranks top 3 in weighted on-base average and weighted runs created plus, while Arizona ranks 12th. So this one is just a really bad mispricing to me, and I would bet the Nats any way you want to here. I agree with you on the Twins side, on the Yankees Dodgers over. So we're on the same page there. Want to get to a couple of our wins today. It is now final. Giants Marlins has a final score of 1-0. So we hit the first three under, the first five under, the full game under. Go us. Royals end up winning their game 1-0 against the Tigers. Good for my futures bets. What else did we have? Ooh, we have to check on your, did you end up playing Kodai Senga over 7.5?
I did. I think I landed on 7 and lost. He had five through the first three innings. So that's a tough one. Philly, Milwaukee, that ended up being a 17-7 final split over 17.5 live there. That was a winner. Hopefully we can have a nice little night here and come out on top, but was fun. We got Sepp Straka live too. I don't know if you want to add that to VSiN best bets. That was a Kelly Bidlin special at 25-30-1, depending on where you got it. Do we have an updated number? I know our buddy Ben Griffin is coming back to the pack here. Scheffler, it seems like it's his tournament to win, but you never know. We might be headed for at least a Sunday sweat.
I hope so. That would make it entertaining. Ben Griffin has birdied his last two holes after bogeying 9, 10, 11, and 12. So he is back to a two-stroke lead at 8-under for the tournament. Looks like it's not that Straka has fallen off. It's that Scheffler also scored two birdies. Scheffler, he just finished his round with a birdie on 18, so he's one stroke behind of Ben Griffin. Still the odds-on favorite at minus 140 for Scotty Scheffler. Ben Griffin is plus 210. Then it's Nick Taylor, who came into the day with 6-1 odds, I believe. He's kind of had an up-and-down day. Three bogeys, one double, one birdie, and one eagle. And he has two holes to go here. He is in third, 5-under for the tournament, three strokes back of the leader. Our guy, Sepp Straka, tied with Keegan Bradley and Jordan Spieth at 3-under for the tourney, 5 back of the lead. Sepp at 28-1 now after we both got him at 30-1. But this is quite the interesting lead. And look, you got Ricky Fowler here tied for 7th. That would be his best finish of the season. I believe his best finish so far this year is a tied 15. So we're in for a fun day tomorrow, and I'm excited. Hopefully this Sepp Straka makes a little movement here. Maybe we should have bet him in a finishing market instead, but it'll be a good one tomorrow. Good luck with your Knicks Pacers bets tonight, Will. Speaking of, I know you want that game 7. Would you want to attend a game 7 courtside though with tickets? I don't know if you've heard this. Going for 6 figures.
Let me guess.
Over 250K. I'm sorry, I didn't let you guess.
I was going to say they're probably very reasonably priced. I'm sure they're cheap.
Yeah. Would you like a house or a courtside at the Knicks?
let's go. You know, go big or go home. Courtside, probably what, $200? Not that bad, right?
And I think we'd be sitting. We decided last time we want to sit with Aubrey Plaza courtside at the Knicks game. Or was that at the Celtics?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bad no, Bunny it was an game. It was in a mystery.
Okay.
Yes. Sign me up.
Well, yeah. Okay. Just another reason to root for a game 7 so we can see all the celebs out on that night. All right. It's been a fun show, Will. We hit a lot of winners today. Today was a good day. So let's carry the mojo into tomorrow. And stay with us here on VSiN, because coming up next, we got Live Bet Saturday continuing with Mark Melusis and Jeff Schwartz. They are going to be on all night for game 6. And then it's cashing out with Greg Peterson to wrap up the night. So the best bets keep coming. He's Will Hill. I'm Grace Remington. This has been Live Bet Saturday. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow.